Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather round the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, lots of good people involved, and the host and founder of the program is Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. Let's kick off this hour with Carol Marx in conversation with Stacey Wilfong. Stacey Wilfong is the daughter of Leon Lason, one of the youngest people on Schindler's List. And she's going to talk about a new book that she's written titled The Boy on the Wooden Box, published by Athenaeum.
How did your grandfather meet Oskar Schindler? He was a Nazi entrepreneur, and your father was working across the street in a glass factory.
Right. My father's family was from a very rural area in Poland, and my grandfather was a little ambitious, you might say, and had decided that maybe his family's future lay in him leaving the small town. And so he had moved to Krakow, where he was working, and he had learned a trade. And Oskar Schindler had a factory across the street, and he had a safe that he couldn't get into for whatever reason, and somebody had recommended my grandfather as somebody who was skilled at that kind of thing and might be able to help out, and he did. He went over there, he unlocked the safe, and Oskar Schindler must have seen maybe a talent or maybe somebody that he thought might be trustworthy, or he saw something in my grandfather and hired him at his factory.
And didn't that job really give him a life-saving document because he was working for a German company?
Right, right. You had to have that kind of documentation to allow you to work and go in and out of the ghetto that was created in Krakow. And my father's family had eventually, they all moved to where my grandfather was. They got pushed into the ghetto in Krakow, and that allowed him to continue to work and kind of support his family as little, you know, as he could, which was not a lot, but it was better than an alternative.
And the ghetto that they were forced into was really designed, the place was designed for 5,000 people, and they had 15,000 people, and the ghetto was surrounded by 12-foot walls. So
right.
Your father writes in the memoir that the two things he always experienced every day in the ghetto were hunger and terror. I mean,
right,
unbelievable.
Sure. Right. It was a neighborhood of sort of apartment complexes that were pre-existing, and they decided, well, this is the area we're going to put the Jews in. And so they made the German people who were living, I mean, the Polish people who were living in there move, and moved all the Jews in and then put the wall up. So it was not like they were constructing these nice new apartments for them or anything. They were just saying, here are these buildings, and you're all getting in there, and we don't care how much room there is or anything else about it.
Things then escalated dramatically when the Germans decided to empty the ghetto and design concentration camps, which had only one purpose, to officially kill Jews, and they then proceeded to round Jews up to send them to these camps. And your father's brother, Zalik, was pushed on to one of those transport cattle cars to go to a concentration camp.
Yes.
And Oskar Schindler just happened to board the car because he wanted to save his accountant, and he saw your father's brother.
Yes.
And he told him to get him off the train. And what happened after that? It was so heartbreaking.
Right. It was. And that scene in the movie, part of it is shown in the movie Schindler's List, when Schindler goes to save his accountant, and then my uncle was on one of those other train cars. And they had already begun working in the factory. My grandfather started, and then he said, well, I have these sons, can you hire them? And he did. And so my uncles were working there, and then my Zalig had a girlfriend. He had met a girlfriend. You know, life goes on, even though they're in these unusually horrible situations. Life goes on, and he had found a girlfriend, and both of them were on the train together. And he said to Oskar Schindler, said, I can get you off. You're on my list. I can get you. And my uncle said, can you take my my girlfriend also? And he said, no. And he said, then I will stay with her. And he was about 17 years old, and he decided to comfort, you know. She was, of course, frightened, so he had decided to do what he could for her.
Just, you know, another very sad story of the Holocaust. And then your grandfather and grandmother, your father, brother, and sister all wound up at the same prison camp where they lived for a year. And your grandfather wrote, it was hell on earth, and no one knew if they were going to live through the day. And then Schindler, who promised all the Jewish people that he hired that he was going to protect them the best he could, he did a remarkable thing because he bribed the Nazis and he built his own workers' barracks right on the ground. So that was remarkable. And why was that so helpful in his building those barracks?
Well, that was an incredible effort on the part of Oskar Schindler to sort of to go out of his way to recognize that the people that were working for him were human beings that deserved, you know, humanity. And he bribed Nazi officers and convinced them that his workers would be more productive, that is, more efficient for the Nazi cause, if they were not living in constant fear in that concentration camp where the whims of the people in charge, you never knew when you were going to get shot for behaving well or shot for behaving badly or shot for standing in this place or not in this place. It was just constant anxiety and fear that was completely unpredictable. And so when he built his own sub camp, he made it possible to have some more humanity into this horrible situation where they were allowed to speak to each other and be with each other, and he would provide what he could without, he couldn't make it, you know, a hotel spa situation, or it would be too obvious. So he did the best he could, and they just felt safe there. They knew they weren't in danger of, you know, being shot or tortured or beaten.
And, you know, your father had a lot of guts, fortunately, because after Schindler built the barracks, he decided to hire more workers, and your father's name was on the list. And then he went as your grandmother's name was on the list, and your father went to get in line to be able to go to the new workers' barracks, and he found out his name had been crossed off.
Right.
So what did he do? I mean, that was tough.
Yeah, he was... You know, when I knew him, he was an adult, and he had been living in the United States for years, and as I grew up with him, I knew him in his, what he liked to call his second life. And it was funny, he was not a very, he didn't cause problems, he didn't make waves, he didn't, you know, and so it's funny to me a little bit to see the story of this little boy. He was a young boy, and he was small for his size, and he knew that having his name crossed off that list was a terrible thing for his survival. He didn't want to be separated from his mother and his brothers, and he went up to a Nazi officer who was standing around guarding the line of people moving and said, "My name has been crossed off." And he, you know, he's looking at this Nazi belt buckle just thinking, what am I doing? He could, you know, do anything he wants. He can hit me on the head with his rifle butt, or I could just be in lots of trouble for this. And luck was on his side again, and that soldier, for who knows what reason, went and saw. My father said, "That's my name on there. See how it's been crossed off?" And the soldier didn't like that and told him the name should be put back on there, and my father could go with the group.
Thank goodness. You know, at the factory, your father worked, I mean, they all worked an unbelievable 12-hour night shift.
Yeah.
They had no breaks for meals. So how did the work your father did become part of the title of the memoir, which is The Boy on the Wooden Box?
Right. So because of the malnutrition and the lack of food and probably the fear, he kind of his growth was slowed, and the Germans invaded Poland in 1939 when my dad was 10, and over the next few years, a crust of bread and a bowl of, you know, water that had a potato skin in it didn't provide him very much nutrition to grow. So he was still, even though he was getting into his teen years, he was still a small boy. And Oskar Schindler had hired him to work in his factory on these machines that were designed for adult men. And so my dad had a hard time reaching the dials and the, you know, using the equipment. And so he stood on a wooden box so that he could show that I'm a productive member of this group. I belong, you know, working in this factory. And so he stood in that box, which saved his life because it allowed him to be a productive member and allow Oscar Schindler to say, yes, look at how they're working. They can work.
You're listening to a conversation between Carol Marx and Stacey Wilfong. Stacey Wilfong is the daughter of Leon Lacen, one of the youngest people to have been on Schindler's List. And the book they're discussing is titled The Boy on the Wooden Box. It's published by Athenaeum. We will continue with part two of this conversation between Carol Marx and Stacey Wilfong when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best. So take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we are going to get back to Carol Marx's conversation with Stacey Wilfong in just a moment, but I want to remind you that Touch of Grey on the radio is just one aspect of the Touch of Grey concept and the Touch of Grey universe, if you will, all emanating from the work and the thoughts and the activities of Carol Marx. If you'd like to know more about Carol Marx, if you'd like to hear some of the best shows over the years that this program has been on the air in the archives and resources for better living, check out the website, atouchofgrey.com. Grey is spelled with an E. It's atouchofgrey.com. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she is a champion in the battle against ageism, and we are so proud to be able to present her on this program. I'm Michael Harrison, anchor of the show. And now let's get back to part two of Carol Marx's conversation with Stacey Wilfong, who is the daughter of Leon Lacen, one of the youngest people involved in Schindler's List. And she wrote a new book titled The Boy on the Wooden Box, published by Athenaeum. In this segment of the interview, they'll be talking about Leon's reuniting with Oskar Schindler in America.
And now your father, as you've said, he was small and he was very emaciated and sleep deprived.
Yep.
And one time his eyesight was failing. How did Schindler try to help him? That was very moving.
Yeah, Oskar Schindler was very kind to my family. He spoke very kindly to my grandfather and kind of let him know a few things, like when the women had been sent to another camp, he found the women and he went and told my grandfather. He said, you know, they're going to be safe, they're coming here. And he also would, when my dad, he noticed that my dad was, you know, working hard, and my dad was always a hard worker, so I'm sure he was, you know, working as best he could, but Oskar Schindler would notice that he wasn't maybe as healthy as he had been in the moved his shift. He also would maybe tell the people that were giving out the food to give him an extra serving of food or something. He was very, very kind.
Now, perhaps the most unbelievable Schindler rescue occurred when his female workers, including your father's mother and sister, mm-hmm. they were on a train. It was supposed to be going to a safer area, his new factory, in Czechoslovakia, and it unbelievably got diverted to Auschwitz. So
Auschwitz, yeah.
Schindler then went to Auschwitz, and he unbelievably got them out, saying they were his essential workers, and how unbelievable was it that he could get them out?
Right. It's incredible that he put himself out there. He was putting his own life in danger, but he was doing it because he knew that that was really the right thing to do. And he had a good soul, and it was incredible that he would go and really just lie to those people and bribe them and do whatever he could to get those women safe back to his factory.
And I think they were the only workers or people that ever got out of that horrible, horrible place. Unbelievable. So fast forwarding to the time when the Germans were losing the war and had to leave Poland because the Russians were nearby, mm-hmm. it also meant Schindler had to leave or he would have been captured. And, you know, really, another thing that touched my heart so much was when he was leaving, the workers presented him with a gold ring, mm-hmm. and it had an inscription in Hebrew from the Talmud that said, "He who saves a life saves the world entire." And mm-hmm. Stacy, wouldn't you agree that that was an extraordinary tribute to him? And he was an ordinary man doing extraordinary things.
Absolutely. That's what my dad always tried to impress in his talks that he did around the country. No matter what age group, he spoke to kids in middle school, and he spoke to adults, and he spoke to religious groups, and he spoke to social organizations. And his main point was Oskar Schindler was just a man in an unreal situation that was making the right choice. He had flaws just like any other human being, but when it came down to it, he was making the right choices. And he was doing the hard choices, but they were the right thing to do. And my dad always wanted to make sure that people knew that he knew Oskar Schindler wasn't somebody without flaws or a saint. I mean, he's saintly, but you know what I mean.
Right.
My dad always wanted people to remember that Oskar Schindler was a man who made the right choice. So, and I think that is a good lesson for everyone, because it just says, you know, you don't have to feel like you can't make the right choices just because maybe you have a flaw or something.
Absolutely. And after the war, when your father was released from a refugee camp in Europe, mm-hmm. he started life over in Los Angeles, and he had only been in school till he was 10. And he managed to get a bachelor's degree in industrial art and a master's in education, and he taught industrial arts and was a guidance counselor at a high school for 39 years. You know, and it was amazing, and he was very well treated, wasn't he, in the United States, and they gave him a chance to go to college when he barely had any school at all.
Right, he had barely had any school, and he barely had any English. So when he arrived in the United States, in his late teens, 17 or so, he didn't speak any English. It wasn't like it is now where people get American TV and maybe music and learn English. He was from the countryside. He didn't know any English, and he learned English and went to school. And so, you know, you hear America as a land of opportunity, and for him, that was for sure. And just to clarify, he wasn't a guidance counselor. He was the work experience coordinator. So he helped the high school students find jobs in the community. So he was like a community liaison, which was really great, and he did that for a long time.
Then, after 2 decades of not seeing Oscar Schindler, Schindler flew into Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and your father was part of a group of survivors that went to greet him, and he was nervous that he wouldn't remember that scrawny, small child from so many years ago. But what happened next? Because, you know, who would believe that?
Right. It had been 20 years or so, and my parents had been married 6 months, and they heard Oscar Schindler, and my grandparents could not attend, but other people that had been part of Schindler's List that lived in the Los Angeles area also were going to meet Oscar Schindler at the airport. And, you know, my father was nervous because he had been such an influential, important man in his survival that, he was a hero to him. He was so nervous that Oscar Schindler wouldn't remember him. He was now an adult. He spoke English. He was married. He had a job. And he waited his turn while his elders went and spoke first. And when he walked up, he was getting ready to say, you know, I'm Leon Lacen. And Oscar Schindler said, before he had a chance to introduce himself, he said, I know who you are. You're little Lacen. And that was one of my dad's most important memories of his life. It was very special.
Stacy Wilfong, interviewed by Carol Marks. Her book is titled The Boy on the Wooden Box. It's published by Athenaeum. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Kevin Casey, who is our senior correspondent and the vice president and executive editor of Talkers Magazine. We'll talk a bit about the media. And then Steve Wiseman will be talking to the grandson of Picasso. Fascinating stuff coming your way when A Touch of Grey continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison and the anchor chair, and we're joined at this point in the program by our senior correspondent, who is also the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers, which serves the talk radio industry, and we get a peek behind the curtain into the talk media and some of the topics talked upon the talk media with Kevin. Kevin, I want to ask you a question. You come from the great state of Wisconsin. Have you ever been to a Green Bay Packers football game?
I have been to a Green Bay Packers football game. I went a couple times when I was young, back in the old days when they played at the old County Stadium, sat through a Chicago Bears game in late November, and really froze my tuchus off.
You obviously knew where I was going, because you and I had this discussion. First of all, do you think it's true that as a person gets older, and again, this is A Touch of Gray, and we target topics that really are interesting to people 50-plus, do you think as a person gets older that they have more of a difficult time dealing with the cold, that it's tougher on the body than when you're a kid?
They do, and I couldn't tell you why, obviously not being a doctor, but I think it's true, and I think that we see it not only in senior citizens who say that they just can't stand the cold. They're always cold when it's cold outside, even if it's warm inside. And we see it in athletes as well. There are discussions about whether or not quarterbacks who are up there in years perform as well in cold weather as they did when they were younger. This year, they're saying it about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, and not too long ago, they were saying that Brett Favre of the Packers couldn't handle the cold anymore and lost a couple cold weather games.
Well, I had an experience that I've never had, and that is I went this past weekend to a New England Patriots game, and it was about 27 degrees. It was between about 25, 27 degrees, and I was bundled up like an Eskimo. I mean, I had so many layers, and basically it wasn't uncomfortable to the point of suffering. But by the end of the game, you're achy, and I was chilled for hours. And there were 60,000 people there. And then the next night, I watched the Chicago Bears and the Dallas Cowboys at Soldiers Field in Chicago. And the water that the players were drinking was freezing in the bottles. And so it was so many degrees colder. And I watched it with very different eyes because I understood what it feels like to be at that. And somebody told me, they said, the NFL doesn't care about its players and it doesn't care about its fans because why would they put a game on in Soldiers Field at nighttime in Chicago if it wasn't for the television rights? Because it's just downright uncomfortable and painful. And now they're going to be doing the Super Bowl in New York in the winter, outdoors. It's pretty extraordinary what goes on around the country, especially in a freezing cold winter like this, at these sporting events. And I don't necessarily have an editorial point of view about it other than to say, wow, I never stopped and really thought about what a challenging thing it is for people to work in the cold or play in the cold, not to mention the concessioners, the police, the security guards, the TV camera people who have to set up and break down under conditions that are, you know, it's like Survivor Man.
It is. And it's funny. People who don't work outside or never have don't understand it. I have friends who have outdoor jobs, and I said, you remember what a cold, bitter, cold day, and I said, how do you stay? He's like, you know what? He said, I've been doing it all my life. He said, when you do this, you dress for it, you're used to it, and it's nothing out of the ordinary for you. For the athletes, they're warmer than anyone else in the stadium because they're running around, even though they're still cold. But, you know, whoever said that to you about the NFL not caring about, you know, the fans and the players, to a degree, I think they're right because they understand that no matter what, enough people are going to, A, watch it on TV, so they don't care what it's like at the stadium, and, B, there are enough people who are rabid enough fans, they'll bundle up and go to the game.
They do. I mean, it was amazing seeing 60,000 people braving the elements. You know, when you're watching it on television, you know it's cold, but you're sitting there on your couch and it's warm and it's pleasant. And, you know, but when you're there, the game has an entire different feel to it. But then, you know, I'm starting to look around and, you know, I was in Boston the other day and I'm seeing guys working on construction and guys, you know, digging ditches. You know, every urban environment is full of workers.
Sure.
And it was bitter cold. And it's just... The winter brings with it tremendous harshness and difficulty for so many people who have to be outside. And I don't know. I just understand how people feel and why a lot of us run down to Florida for the winter.
I'll tell you, even I'm far less tolerant of it than I used to be. I never thought I would feel this way. But, you know, it's going to be interesting getting back to... you know, the Super Bowl here, which is, you know, for the first time, for our listeners who aren't aware, it's in New Jersey at where the Giants and the Jets play. First time they've had a cold weather, rather a known cold weather Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting to see how the people react. What if there's a storm 2 days before?
I really hope it's a warm winter's day. I really do. That would be just a crying shame.
Boy, February 2nd in New Jersey, I wouldn't be too hopeful.
All right. Kevin, interesting stuff. Kevin Casey, the Vice President and Executive Editor of Talkers Magazine. You can check it out at talkers.com. Thank you very much. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray continues with insight into the world of Picasso when we continue in a moment.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes.
online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined now by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, in conversation now with Olivier Picasso. He's the grandson of the famous artist Pablo Picasso, and he's going to talk about a lottery to benefit the ancient city, the Lebanese city of Tyre. The winner gets a Picasso, and the tickets are $135 each. That means that for $135, if you win the lottery, you get a priceless Picasso, kind of, and the money is being used to, fix up and save and preserve this ancient city that I understand is in ruin. The drawing takes place on December 18th. Here's the conversation.
There's no bigger name in the history of art than Pablo Picasso. Owning a Picasso is something very few people in the world can claim. But you, yes, you can be one of those people. For 100 euros, which is about $135, you can get a raffle ticket to win an original Picasso painting, a 1914 painting entitled Man with Opera Hat, that's conservatively valued at $1 million. And get this, your chances of winning this lottery are better than if you played Powerball or other lotteries, because French law, which applies here, limits the number of tickets to 50,000. So joining us to talk about this is the grandson of Pablo Picasso, Olivier Midmyer Picasso. First of all, how did you come up with this extraordinary idea of a way of raising money?
Oh, when the people of the Association to Save the City of Tyre in Lebanon came up to me to explain the project, I was a little bit not sure about the possibility. First, because it's always difficult to find a good Picasso, and in this case it was difficult to find something that could motivate thousands of people, and they did it.
Now, where did you get this particular painting?
Oh, this paint on paper from 1914 at the peak of the cubism of my grandfather was part of his own collection. In fact, my grandfather used to keep a lot of his own paintings, drawings, sculptures as a proof of his talent. And when he died, our family received it as inheritance, And the artwork was sold a few years ago to a gallery, and this is how the association bought it.
How special. Now, you were a child when your grandfather passed away, but do you have any childhood memories of him?
Oh, in fact, I was not seeing my grandfather as any child in a common family, but he was part of my world as a child. There were paintings, drawing, and sculptures at home, and I was stayed a lot by my mother, by my grandmother, Marie-Thérèse. So I was not missing grandfather. It's just the day he died when I learned it on television that something came up. He was bigger than I thought.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that the proceeds are going towards a charity to help the city of Tyre. Tell us about that.
Oh, you know, there are absolutely no political or religious issues about this. It's because the city of Tyre, which is a very old and ancient town, is probably at the origin of our Western civilization. They invented the alphabet. The Phoenicians invented the word Europe, and they were long-ranging travelers with boats. This is why all around the Mediterranean Sea you have cities founded by Phoenicians. I was born in Marseille in France. It's a Phoenician city. My grandfather was born in Malaga in Spain. It's a Phoenician city. So I was really interested by the project. And moreover, this project will create jobs for women and people with handicap to maintain the traditions and the craftsmanship in Tyre.
That's wonderful. So tell us about the auction. Where and when is it going to be held?
Oh, it will take place at Sotheby's, the auction house in Paris. We'll organize the drawing of the raffle on December 18th. It will be live on internet, and I've been told that there are already more than 40,000 tickets sold. So I think that now, being in December, it's a nice Christmas present.
Picasso, yeah. You know, I'm going to do that. I am going to get and give away to my friends and keep some for myself. The tickets. Where do we get the tickets? How do we get them?
Oh, you have to go on the internet. It's www.1Picasso100euros.com, and you have to know that you can of course buy it. You will receive a certificate of purchase, and everything is under the control of the French government and the Ministry of Finance. So you have to know that the money goes to the government for the moment, and when everything will be finished, they will overlook any spend of the money by the association.
It's an amazing idea, and I mean, it truly, it's priceless, and the amount you took for the tickets, this is something, it makes it in reach of everyone, and like we were saying before, you have a greater chance of winning this than if you played just the standard lotteries. You also have written a biography of your grandfather, is that right?
Yes, I did the first one in 2004, and the next year there will be a new book, what we call a luxury book in America, called Picasso Intimate Portrait, but it will be in a few months.
Interesting. When you were researching about your grandfather, was there anything in particular that surprised you?
Oh, you know, when he died, I was given so many information as a child, but it was complicated for me to understand that man was said to be a womanizer, that artist said to be a billionaire, and everything was complicated. It took me time to understand everything. And what I discovered is how much my grandfather was dedicated to creation. He had a kind of sacralized vision of his talent, and a part of having a family with four children from three different women, he was really, really focused on his work. And he was, by the way, saying, oh, I'm going to work now. It was not a hobby. So thanks to him, we have this chance to go all over the world in museums to see the results.
It's tremendous. You know, I always remember one of his great quotes, which is, art is a lie that makes us realize the truth. A wonderful statement. So this is it's a fantastic opportunity. And again, could you give us the website for where to go to get tickets?
Yes. Again, it's www.1Picasso100euros.com. But if you look on Google or Yahoo, like, for example, the Russell, ticker so Russell, you will find immediately the connection with the website of the association.
That's Olivier Picasso in conversation with Steve Wiseman. And if you're interested in knowing more about this, go to the website www.Picasso100, also the numeral, euros.com. So it's 1Picasso100euros.com. for more information. Steve Wiseman returns in a moment, and he's going to talk about holiday shopping in a store when A Touch of Grey continues.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. I'm sitting here contemplating what I would do if I won a Picasso worth $1 million. Would I keep it? Would I hang it on the wall? Would I put it in a vault? Would I sell it? It's kind of... All right. Let's talk about holiday shopping in a store with a man who sees a scam artist behind every Christmas tree. He's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall, and his website is called scamaside.com, our very own Steve Wiseman. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, we're getting into the holiday season. It reminds me of the old joke about how do you stop an elephant from charging? You take away his credit cards. But no one is going to be stopping us from charging during the holiday season. And frankly, I've got a few tips for you today, and one of them may deal with your credit card, and that is use your credit card. Don't use a debit card when you're out there shopping in your regular brick-and-mortar stores. And the reason for that is, if somehow your credit card gets the number gets stolen, an identity thief gets access to it, and your security is breached, the most you can be responsible for off of that card of fraudulent purchases is only $50. But if you use a debit card and you don't pick up right away on the fact that that debit card security has been compromised, your entire bank account to which it is linked, you can have that emptied out and lose all that money. And even if you do find out right away that it's been compromised, what happens is the bank is going to freeze that account in order to do an investigation, and you're not going to be able to use it at that time either. So stick with your credit card. Also, keep an eye on that credit card when you give it to the clerk. And the reason I say that is, what happens is a big way that identity theft occurs is that criminals, and remember, you've got a lot of extra help who are hired over Christmas by retailers. When they take your credit card, along with running it through the processor, they also run it through a small device about the size of the palm of your hand called a skimmer. And it takes all of the information that's electronically inputted on your credit card and steals that information. And what they can then do is use your credit card online or even use that to put that information onto another credit card that they can use. So it's a risky thing. It's one of the big problems that we do have in the holiday season regarding identity theft, because it's real easy to do. Another thing you want to do is gift cards. Gift cards are terrific. I love gift cards. But when you buy a gift card, don't take one from the display out on the counter. And the reason for that is, even though those have not been activated yet, the scammers and identity thieves will come in, they'll get the information from that card, they'll scan it in a small device they can have and put it back. Then they wait. They wait for someone to buy that card, put money on that card, activate that card, and they can find this out because they have the numbers from the card. They go onto the website for the particular retailer. Once they see it's been activated, they've got all the information to spend the money from your gift card. So, gift cards are great. Just get one from behind the counter. So, you follow these simple rules, and you can have some safe shopping.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Wiseman talking about the dangers of holiday shopping in a store. Again, he has written The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall, and check out his website, scamaside.com. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Beverly Santinello, our producer. Thank you, Carol Marks, who's the creator of this program and its host. And certainly thank you, Kevin Casey. Thank you to the entire Touch of Grey broadcast team. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. We'll